13, Monday, October 7th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Cole Weisenberg, DFS, joined by my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, we are into the month of October. Media Day has come and gone. We've got some preseason games in the books. Plenty of news to talk about, checking in on the WNBA playoffs. But as we always start, how you feeling, my friend?
Feeling good. I like seeing some players, some shots going in, players up and down the court. Good things around. NBA's right around the corner. I can't wait. You put a futures article out. All good stuff here at FTN. Cannot wait to get rolling. What is it? 15 days, I think, from today.
Yep. 2 weeks from right now, we will be on the eve of the NBA regular season. So it is coming very, very quickly. And let's not waste any time here on today's episode of the Fast Break Podcast. We'll jump right into some of those preseason results. And Mike, we had games, right? The Abu Dhabi games. We had Boston and Denver out there. Two games, Friday and Sunday. They got us started on Friday afternoon. You get a little bit of a taste of those starters from both of those teams, right? Two title contenders. And then we roll through the weekend. Again, minimal number of games. I think tonight on Monday, we've got five games, and that is the biggest slate we have seen over the first 4 days of the preseason schedule. But I wanted to focus on two games from Sunday night's slate, and starting with Alex Saar. Maybe not the biggest story of these two that we're going to highlight here, but from an actual basketball perspective, I thought this one was the more meaningful of this pair. Looked good in his preseason debut, and it, like, not just the stat line, like the stat line, especially compared to what everybody, you know, what went viral, really, the 0-for-15 debut in Summer League back in early July. But then this preseason debut, right? Like, I think Wizards fans probably, like, at least for the moment, breathing a sigh of relief. Alex Saar, of course, the second overall pick, 15-3-4 with a block, three turnovers in his 22 minutes against the Raptors yesterday, but 6-of-8 from the field, 3-of-4 from three. And I watched a little bit of this game, Mike, and, like, I thought he looked better. He looked a little bit more spry, and most importantly, looked a little bit more confident. So maybe that's what getting into camp with your teammates, the first team, rather than going from the draft, the whirlwind of that right out to Vegas in Summer League, maybe he just is feeling a little bit more comfortable in his new digs.
Yeah, like the points, like the efficiency, 6-of-8 from the field, 3-of-4 from three-point range. Everything they need, weak side defense as well, had a couple assists, can sort of serve at the high post there, hitting some people that are open on the wings and on the inside, backdoor cuts, things like that. Very encouraged by what we saw from Saar. This is what you want. You need him to be a foundational piece. You need him to be like a Wemby light where he does everything. And he has those that ability. He has that natural ability to shoot it, to score, to pass. And he certainly looked a heck of a lot more confident, Zach, than he looked in the summer.
Yeah, you want to see him get to that ceiling, right? If you're a Wizards fan, especially with the recent history of that club. So a good start to the preseason there for Alex Saar and the Wizards. And then again, the big story. And I don't want to knock, right, the historical significance of this, preseason or not. LeBron James and Bronny James Jr. sharing the court for the first time last night against Phoenix. Not just coming on for a ceremonial possession or two, like, we got actual actions in between father and son here, right? I believe the first, like, handoff on the right wing from LeBron to Bronny. Bronny pulls up for three, uncontested, clangs it off the back of the rim, and, like, Bronny continues to statistically underwhelm. I don't think that's really a surprise to any of us at this point. And I actually thought, like, I caught parts of both of these games, or rather, Lakers played on Friday, no LeBron, no Anthony Davis in that one. I thought Bronny looked a little bit better in that Friday one. Did have three blocks, I believe, in Friday night's game. But I can see if he's got extra jitters with his dad out there. And just, like, again, it's got to be a weird setup for him and for LeBron, of course, everybody else surrounding them there, father and son on the same team. But did you catch any of this action? Obviously, I think every NBA fan, if you're on social media in the last 24 hours, you've seen some of the clips.
Yeah, I'm very torn with this. As an NBA fan, I mean, his skills aren't there, and I struggle with it. as in deference to LeBron James and in deference to having him out there with his son, it's fine. I don't expect him to stay with the team much longer. I expect him to be in the G League developing, playing a little bit with LeBron, which is what he wanted. But I think LeBron even understands that he's not necessarily at that level, but he feels he can develop and get to that point, and that's what he's trying to do as well. Frank Isola was talking to Brian Scalabrine, and they went back and forth, and Brian Scalabrine said something very funny about Bronny James is like pumpkin spice, meaning that once the pumpkin season goes away, he'll go to the G League. Yeah. It's fine. I'm torn between my heart and my head, but if we're looking at this through the prism of, is he talented? No, but it's fine. I have no problem with the preseason.
Yeah. Again, like, we could get into, is he taking a spot from somebody who's maybe a little bit more, a player that's a little bit more deserving with their current talent level? Sure. Right. We could get into all those weeds, but again, just the significance to LeBron, like you mentioned, the historical significance of having a father-son duo, be teammates in the NBA. Again, I think you're right. I love the pumpkin spice reference, right? Like, maybe we see this take place in one regular season game where those guys touch the floor at the same time.
Sure, no problem. But yeah.
Again, if we don't see Bronny spend the majority of his rookie season down in the G, I think there will be some Lakers fans probably at least scratching their heads, right? Maybe to put it nicely. Let's rip through some of the news over the last week. And Mike, is this just the basketball universe telling me to stop touting the Memphis Grizzlies? Jaren Jackson Jr. suffers a strained hamstring in practice last Tuesday. So right after we finished recording on Monday night, he will undergo imaging. But Coach Jenkins did give an update in press availability, saying he's not concerned with Jaren Jackson Jr. missing time in the regular season. So that's a good sign. But again, when you get these soft tissue injuries, the injury recurrence, right, a little bit higher, especially in the month or two following the injury. So again, GG Jackson, Vince Williams Jr., now Jaren Jackson Jr. Is it ever going to stop for Memphis?
Yeah, and last year, Jaren Jackson Jr. actually had a pretty healthy year, 66 games played in all those games. Before that, 63-78, but he did have a history in 2018, 2019, 2019, 2020 of missing some games. Super talented, but his contributions are critical and I don't think can be replaced. It's not like some of the other players we talked about earlier on the pod a couple weeks ago. You can replace that scoring temporarily. You cannot with what he brings. So they need him healthy. I love the Grizzlies as much as you do, but it's concerning. It's as concerning as an NFL player who ends up pulling a hamstring in training camp. Same thing. I hope he's healthy. They need him on the floor. I'm going to remain high on the Grizzlies, but yes, this is not great news.
Yeah, right. It's like you need those guys, John Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bain. You could probably include Marcus Smart kind of in that group of four. Like, as long as those guys are healthy, feeling pretty good about the Grizzlies. Now that we're getting into that group and they're starting to drop out here in training camp, we'll keep our eye on Jaren Jackson. Headed over closer to my neck of the woods here, talking Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic will miss a week with a calf contusion. Although Tim McMahon, right, one of the Dallas beat reporters there, reports that the Mavericks expect him to be ready for the start of the season. So seems like crisis averted there for Luka. But then Dante Exum in that Mavericks backcourt. Shams Charania reporting that Dante Exum suffered a serious wrist injury that could require surgery. And Mike, this to me is being reported like it could be a long-term absence for Dante Exum, which I think, like, you're thinking fantasy-wise, that makes me think maybe you sneak in a Spencer Dinwiddie in round 16 in a best ball draft this week.
Yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie, if he gets volume, is always going to produce, and this is a better opportunity now to get some more volume. Doncic, I'm worried about in that, Zach. I think he's played an excessive amount of games. If you go back to the playoffs 2 years ago, the games in the summer, this year, I think they're going to want to rest him a little bit more. I don't think they're going to see a huge advantage in being the 2 seed, the 3 seed versus the 5 seed. So I expect Luka Doncic to not play as many games as normal this year and then really try to rest him up because he's been going nonstop now for 2 straight years. So no, I don't think this is a big deal, but I do expect his rest to increase now throughout the season.
And we talked about, right, Luka and that that just the load that he's been under from a basketball standpoint over the last couple of seasons, to your point, right? We talked about it, I think, in the summer when Slovenia came up short in their Olympic qualifiers, that maybe a blessing in disguise for Dallas. And certainly happy that Luka expected to be ready in 2 weeks, over to New Orleans. So same division, but moving a little bit east. Trey Murphy III will miss at least 3 weeks with a strained hamstring. That very much puts him in doubt for the beginning of the regular season. And I think probably a favorite right now to miss at least that opening game, if not a little bit longer, right? Because again, you're talking about these soft tissue injuries. You don't want that to linger. And Trey Murphy's a guy that I think most of us expect to take on a little bit larger role here in this Pelicans rotation.
Yeah, Trey Murphy is someone who's flammable, and there aren't many players who can come off the bench, can put balls in real quickly, get a couple three-pointers, active with the steals, active with the blocks. He's very valuable, a critical piece, very Jaren Jackson Jr. like, not same type of player, but same type of role for a Pelicans team that doesn't have the elite level that the Grizzlies do at the top that they can rely on, that have been there, the veterans. I mean, they have players, but I still think it's sort of uncharted territory for them in the playoffs. So getting a seed for the Pelicans and Trey Murphy being healthy and playing the entire year and being able to show up and take more minutes when players slow down, that's critical. They need him healthy for sure.
Staying in the West, and I think something that I didn't notice until now, I think every single piece of our player news here that we're going through is from the Western Conference, going to Oklahoma City now, Jalen Williams. And we're talking Jalen with a Y, not J-Dub, right? So the backup center there, Jalen Williams, currently out, going to miss the entirety of training camp with a hamstring injury. But the news here, he will be reevaluated at the beginning of the regular season. So certainly no question about that center rotation here, right? You've got Chet, you've got Isaiah Hartenstein, and we'll see where Jalen with a Y slots in when he can get healthy. Sounds like that's going to be November at the earliest.
Yeah, I'm getting higher and higher on Isaiah Hartenstein the more I hear about the news here coming out of Oklahoma City. Jalen out with the hamstring, going to be reevaluated. Always great for a spot start in DFS. Always a great min play when you can project him for minutes. But Hartenstein's getting better and better for me, Zach. I'm warming to him and getting much more exposure to him in best ball.
Going up to the Pacific Northwest now, the Trailblazers. And stop me if you've heard this before. Robert Williams, the Time Lord, expected to miss 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. And I don't mean to laugh and make light of Robert Williams or any player being injured. But again, he's one of these guys, right, where it's just like, it's when, not if, with Time Lord. And hamstring injury continues to be an issue, right? Whatever pops up, it seems like it's lower body with Williams. And again, with the bigs, especially at this level, lower body injuries don't typically like improve as you get older, as you progress through your career. So like, I don't know, man, 2 weeks already, he's going to miss camp. He's behind Ayton. You would think Donovan Clingan at some point going to have the leg up there, given his draft capital, his upside, his place in the future plans for the Portland franchise. This is just not good news for Robert Williams. And it's not good news for Portland, who probably want to ship him out for something at some point before February's deadline.
Zach, I said this a week ago, and I'll say it every week. Robert Williams on Portland, on a struggling team, is bad news. It's going to go the wrong way. Robert Williams needs to be on a team that has success like the Celtics to keep him in check and embrace all the Time Lord rumors and things like that. This is not good. It's going the wrong way.
Yeah, and it, like, to me, he's kind of the perfect trade for candidate for a team like New Orleans, who is hurting for depth in their front court. And again, can't trade the Time Lord if he's not healthy and staying there. Again, the hits keep coming. And if you're a team like Portland, at least you know that this season is going to be one where you are trying to be in the bottom three of the league, right? So it doesn't hurt as much that Shaedon Sharpe, the day after the Time Lord injury is announced, Shaedon Sharpe, Blazers announced, torn labrum, will miss 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't think we see Shaedon Sharpe until December at the earliest. And of course, Sharpe coming off the February procedure on his abdominal muscles that ended his season, right? That oblique strain happened in December of last year, did not play a ton, and then they decided to go ahead and shut it down with the procedure in February. So, like, it could be almost a calendar year where we have not seen a healthy Shaedon Sharpe. And, like, for a prospect who I think many of us were very, very excited for, it's just been a little bit of a false start here to begin his career in Portland.
A lot of versatility, but he needs the repetitions. You know, Shaedon Sharpe needs to polish his game. He isn't great at any one specific type of thing. He just comes in and does a lot of things really well. But that's something that takes time and repetitions and preseason and getting into the rotation and knowing when where players are supposed to be and getting them set up. Concerning here, this hurts him a lot more than a spot-up three-point shooter. This hurts him a lot more than a back-to-the-basket center. Again, this is a player who really can benefit and grow and has tremendous upside, but needs to be on the court. 4 to 6, and we just got a alert while we were talking here. They're saying at least 6 now, so it's already starting to grow.
So, and right, you're the college guy of the two of us. Didn't Shaedon Sharpe, did he miss his one college year due to injury, or was he sitting out? Was that something else that I think he was sitting out.
Yeah, I think he chose to sit out. But, I mean, again, like all the players, they come in and they talk about going to college. And I think there was an injury there, but he just primarily chose to stay out and get ready for the draft.
Well, and again, that's just it's another year where he's not getting those reps in live games at the highest level of competition possible. So, certainly doesn't hurt your shares in season long in best ball of guys like Danny Avdija, Jeremy Grant, Anfernee Simons, right? Just solidifying minutes for those guys, minutes and opportunity on the wing. Former Blazer here now down in Phoenix, Yusuf Nurkić, will miss 1 week with a finger injury. So he sat out, of course, the Suns' preseason debut last night. Coach Budenholzer said Oso Iguodaro will get extended preseason run, and he was true to his word. Also last night, Mike, I know this is a guy that you were a fan of in his college days. We talked about him a lot, played him on a couple of those summer league slates in July. Last night against the Lakers, Oso Iguodaro, 27 minutes, 12 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, a steal and a block, 3 turnovers, 6 of 8 from the floor. Not a bad preseason debut for the Rook.
The more that Oso Iguodaro gets on the floor, the more he's going to be tough to take off the floor. He is a true big in the mold of our NBA bigs right now. He is a player, Zach, who I expect to get better on the offensive end, more consistent with the short jump shots, great defender, great at running the break, great on the offensive boards, good passer, underrated passer as well from the high post, already has the high post move down from the foul line, taking it to the basket. The more he plays, he's going to allow everyone else to score, and he's going to do the dirty work. He is not coming off the floor. He will take more advantage of this, and Coach Bud will love him.
I'm interested to see his development, right? You mentioned that underrated passer coming into the league here. Like, you're also with two of maybe the most underrated passing centers with Yusuf Nurkić and Mason Plumlee on that depth chart with him. So we'll certainly be watching Iguodaro throughout the rest of this preseason. PJ Tucker reportedly will step away from the LA Clippers as the team will, quote, work to find the best solution moving forward. Now, PJ Tucker picked up his, I believe, $11.5 million player option, the former Texas Longhorn, right? This is one of my guys, and I love to think back on his career arc coming into the league, going overseas for a number of years, kind of revamping his game, and then, of course, coming back NBA champion. Now age 39 season, apparently wants a situation where he can play a larger role and, quote, do all the things. I don't know, PJ, I got a break from you here, buddy. I don't think you are a rotation player on a contending team at this point of your career, unfortunately. So look, man, you picked up the player option. You keep getting them checks, $11 million, not too bad for a guy who probably should not be in an NBA rotation at this point. Any thoughts for you on PJ?
Yeah, I agree with you. PJ Tucker, 39 years old. But I will say this. PJ Tucker is one of those guys who affects winning. Wherever he goes, they usually win. He was excellent with the Bucks. That 1 year he came aboard, he had 20 games played. Miami, Philadelphia, he was a pain in the neck to the Bucks when I saw him play. I get it. He's sort of having trouble holding on here. I understand. But his career for a guy who was a 20-point scorer at Texas, came in, became a role player, did a great job, and can hit those corner jumpers still. I get it. But yeah, he's got to accept a smaller role, Zach. Like, let's take it easy here.
And like, you maybe list out the just the total list of guys who have made it to their age 39 season in the NBA. PJ Tucker, in terms of like overall talent throughout his career, is probably near the bottom of that list, right? So again, that is just, I think, again, just shows how important he was. To your point, he affects winning. That's why teams have kept him around this long. But looks like his time with the Clippers going to come to an end. You mentioned the news that we got here while we've been recording. Speaking of sharps, right? We talked about Shaden. Now, two pieces of news from the Nets. Daron Sharpe will miss at least 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. So again, that puts him maybe Thanksgiving, maybe not till December do we see Daron Sharpe active again. That hurts some of my round 16 best ball shares there, Mike. And then his teammate, Trendon Watford, will miss at least 2 weeks with a hamstring injury as well. So maybe on track for opening night is Trendon Watford. But getting a little bit thin there in that Nets front court already.
Only interesting because there is opportunity. There is fantasy opportunity with the Nets. It's being able to figure out the rotation. So even though it's a team that he doesn't have the big name stars that you necessarily gravitate towards, there's great opportunity in the mid to late rounds, your best ball drafts. This is interesting news. Got to keep an eye on it, of course.
Let's check in real quick on the WNBA playoffs. Still finishing up the semifinals. That game five between Connecticut and Minnesota will take place on Tuesday night. The Sun stayed alive at home yesterday on Sunday, and it was a heck of an offensive performance here from Connecticut. They shoot 54% from the field, 53 from three, only missed two of their free throws in this game four victory. Mike, I still think the Lynx will ultimately win this series, but it is going to be an absolute battle. Nafisa Collier for the Lynx has been great, but I wanted to shout out Courtney Williams. I think her efficiency, not just with her scoring in this series, but also her distribution going up against one of the best defensive teams in the WNBA, I think that is a big reason why the Lynx are on the brink of a trip to the finals against this staunch Connecticut defense. Do you manage to, I know these games happening on an NFL Sunday are not fair. I had multiple screens going yesterday. Anything for you as we gear up for a game five back in Minnesota on Tuesday?
The one thing I'll say is this. I haven't watched the other series. Mm-hmm. The Liberty look incredible.
Yeah,
I know that they have not won a WNBA title. I think it's their time. Inescu was great. Stewart was even better. I really think the Liberty are just at a different level. And what I saw, the way they're playing, the passion, the closeout, the ability to finish the games and get the tough rebounds, tip outs, things like that. I'm on the Liberty, and I will have a wager on the Liberty to take home their first WNBA title.
There you go. Yeah, a professional transition by you there, sir, because this one pained me. I don't know if you could tell. I just wanted to like hold off on talking about my Aces. Of course, the two-time defending champions no longer. The Liberty win the series 3-1, winning game four on Sunday. Like you mentioned, their sixth trip to the WNBA Finals in franchise history. 0-5 to this point. I'm with you, man. I think they're going to get it done. As much as it pains me to see my Aces and their triumphant run come to an end, the right team won this series. And again, game three as an Aces fan was great to watch. It was a fantastic second half performance. But I really think of the eight halves that were played in that series, there was only one where the Aces were the better team. So best of luck to the Liberty in the finals as they are awaiting the winner of Sun and Lynx on Tuesday night. Mike, we will end this episode, as we always do, with a little bit of stock up and stock down. We'll start with our stock downs, and I'll get us started here with the stock downs. Look, like I got to get my weekly Wemby quota in here. So I'm going to go stock down to Rudy Gobert and his defense of his four Defensive Player of the Year awards. So I saw somebody comment somewhere on the socials that, look, Rudy Gobert is so good at defense, he's even defending himself and his Defensive Player of the Year awards. But he said, quote, show me who should have won in those years, right? Four Defensive Player of the Year awards. I don't need to dive back into the previous three, and I'm not trying to tell Rudy that he wasn't deserving, because he was even last year. But me, being the biased Spurs fan that I am, and I think there is a pretty unbiased case for Victor Wembanyama to have won the award last year. I just, to me, it's like, I see Rudy say that, I'm like, dude, you spent the entire summer over there in France with the guy who probably should have won it last year. Just, you don't have to continue to defend yourself about this. Rudy, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. And for those who don't believe it, you can come back to me in 10 years and you can tell me that you were wrong and I was right. But Rudy, just like, it just comes off as soft to me, man. Like, don't let these people get to you like that.
I don't have a stock down. I'm going to double down on your stock down. Rudy, okay. Enough. Wemby should have got it last year. Rudy, you are a Hall of Famer, but there's different tiers to that. I can make a very strong case that Bam Adebayo is a better all-around defender than Rudy Gobert. I can do it. Wemby's better than both of them. Take it easy, Rudy. Let's just keep it under check here. Rudy, the reputation, all the things with Rudy Gobert, there needs to be a holistic argument. It's not looking at each year in isolation. It's, we're going to give this guy a four-time Defensive Player of the Year, and he is not at that level. So I double down. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be in, because, like, again, clearly I respect Rudy Gobert's resume, what he's done, what he continues to do in the general basketball landscape. But I also am part of the people who hate on him for certain things. And I've said for years that I don't think you can win an NBA title with Rudy as your starting center. But maybe he can prove me wrong this year with Minnesota. Let's close it out with our stock ups and I'll pass it over to you. What's the stock up for this week?
It's Russell Westbrook. I love what I saw in the Abu Dhabi game out there where he played, came off the bench, 12 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 of 6 from 3-point range. Look, I know the shooting, Zach, is not going to last, but I really believe, because I've seen this time and time again, a veteran player like Russell Westbrook playing alongside Jokic, playing with a great Denver team who needs depth because they lost their depth after their title, of course. I think it's the perfect fit. I know it's only one game. I know it's a preseason game. I'm very high on Russell Westbrook coming into this season.
I like that call, man. And Russ was my low-owned play in that showdown on Friday afternoon that helped me. It was not a great showing for me on slate one of the preseason with that showdown, but he did help me min cash there on DraftKings. So I will also shout out Russell Westbrook for a stock up here. And I'll close this out. My stock up is Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball continues to insist to the media that he will be ready to go on night one of the regular season. Of course, minutes limited, not going to play back-to-backs to start the year. But if this comes to pass, Mike, this is awesome. I love watching Lonzo Ball play basketball, and it has been damn near a tragedy over the last 2 years watching him deal with the unfortunate injury, how it happened, not being able to reportedly walk upstairs as you know, recent as a year ago, maybe even 9 months. So the fact that he appears to be on the precipice of a return to NBA play, I can't get enough of that. I'm pulling for him, man. Stock up for Lonzo Ball.
It's better. The league is better when Lonzo's on the floor. He's exciting. He's dynamic. Glad he's healthy. Happy he's back. Looking forward to it as well. And his team needs him for sure. I agree completely.
That'll do it for episode 13 here of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. We will be back next Monday getting into our team, our division, our conference previews. I cannot wait for that. And it just continues to get more and more real that basketball is back, Mike. Anything else for you before we shut it down?
No, that's it. The games are coming. And like I said, 2 weeks from now, tip it off. Can't wait.
All right, everybody, we will see you back here next week for another episode of the FTN Fast Break. You can catch me twice this week. We had to DNP on Friday.
DNP, it happens. So, it happens all the great ones.
Wednesday, we're live streaming best ball. Friday, we're live streaming best ball on the FTN YouTube channel and Twitter pages. So you can check those out. And we'll see you back here next week for another episode of Fast Break. Till then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye. We'll be right back.